All right. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing. You definitely had the kids' attention, so that's awesome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be freely gathered together to praise your name and to draw near to you. Lord, help us not to take it for granted. And I ask that you would just guide the sharing of your word, and I ask you to allow us to see new things in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we know that God is love, and we know that we're supposed to be people that are known by the love that we have for one another. And so my question is, what would be the mark of someone who's very mature in love? What would that look like? And as you ponder that, take a look here in 1 John. I think 1 John's going to show us this. First John 4. So here's the answer. Here's somebody who's very mature in love. This should be our aim. This should be our goal for all of us. Verse 17, it says, love has been perfected or made complete, or you could say has been matured in us. Right? In this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. There is no love in fear, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we are supposed to be as Jesus is in this world, right? It said when Jesus was in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. But later on, and it also says, when I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But when Jesus left and ascended on high, it says that we're supposed to be the light of the world. In other words, we're supposed to walk as Jesus walked. This is a new covenant teaching, that we can actually conduct ourselves the way Jesus did. John, keep your finger there in first one, but in John 13, it says something to this effect about this new teaching. Because in the old covenant, what did it say? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But in the new covenant, John 13:34, says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. There is a difference between love your neighbor as yourself and love your neighbor as Jesus has loved us. How did Jesus love us? Back in 1 John, it says this. 1 John 4:10, it says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love because he first loved us. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's one thing to love somebody who loves you, but how do you love those who don't love you? That's a new level of love. And not only that, we don't love those just the way we want to be loved, but we love them the way that God loves us. It's not a human love, it's a divine love. So we want to mature in love. Verse 19, 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. That's a very strong verse. So if anyone says, I love God, if anyone says, I'm a Christian, because to say I love God is to say I'm a Christian, and hates his brother, he is a liar. He is fully deceived. Right? For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And so I wanted to look at a couple passages here on what does it look like to walk in love. And the first one I'm going to look at is in Philippians. And once again, the example is Jesus. Philippians 2. A very familiar passage for many. I'm going to start in verse 4. I'm going to start in verse 3. Philippians 2, 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So there's two things that jump out at me. Let nothing. There's a lot of things, but nothing. Nothing be done through, what's the other one? Selfish ambition. So we can think of selfish ambitions as like these big goals in people's lives, or maybe in our own. But they can be very small little things. Very small little things that we see. We want to get something to work out a certain way for ourselves. It might be a decision that affects us only for an hour, but there's still self, and we're trying to arrange things in a certain way. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The things we just read, this is the mind or the purpose that Jesus had when he was on this earth. Right? He was equal with God, yet he humbled himself and came as a servant. That's what the next verse says. In the same way, that's what we need to do. We need to think of others as being as more important than ourselves. Rather than arranging situations to get the best for self, we need to think, hey, they're more important than me. Why shouldn't they have that situation or that material thing or whatever it is that we often want to latch on to for ourselves? Let's look here in Matthew 25. What does it look like to walk in love? Matthew 25, 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels come with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or come to you? And the king will answer and say to him, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You see, he's the head and we're the body. And when we're willing to show kindness and take concern and take interest in the members of his body, we're doing it as unto him. And it says specifically to the least of these. And that word least is interesting. If you look it up, it says least in, can be used in many ways. Least in size, least in importance, least in authority, least in men's estimation or from people's or men's eyes. They seem like they're little, they're not very important. Those are the ones that if we really love Jesus, we're going to take time for. So we can do it exactly in the examples here. Hungry, right? All these different things. But I think it goes much more than that. Who takes time for someone that just seems to be a little bit off on their own? They don't quite fit in. Who's willing to... I'm going to say it like this. There's people that we naturally get along with really well. It's easy to spend time with certain people. We have a natural affinity towards some. We have like interests. But are we willing to say, you know what, I'm going to maybe not spend as much time with those people this day or this hour. Not that it's wrong to spend time with them, but to take a little bit of time and go and invest it in that person who just doesn't seem to fit in. Or we try to include them, we reach out and we try to draw them in. That's taking time for the least of these. That's what we should be doing. I'm going to just finish this parable, and then I'm going to share on a little more. It says, "Then he will also say to those on his left hand," that's the goats, "depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least, you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into the everlasting punishment for the righteous, but the righteous into eternal life. In other words, what is your nature? Is it the nature of a sheep or the nature of a goat? The nature of a sheep are looking out for others, right? Take not only for your own interest, but for the interests of others. If you were that person, would you want someone to reach out to you, to spend time with you, to give you a text or a phone call to see how you're doing, to come encourage you? Do you have that sheep nature? Or do we have a goat nature? Well, we don't even realize these people are there. We're not even cognizant of the hurt or how they're feeling left out. Obviously, we can actually go and visit people in prison, but it's much more simple than that. It's all around us. It's every day. What is our nature? As he is in this world, so should we be, right? This should be our nature. And we need to ask God to open our eyes, to make us aware. Where are those that need to be encouraged? This is how a body should function, right? We're really part of the same body if we're brethren, spiritual brothers and sisters, right? What does it say? We give greater honor to the parts that are less honorable. In other words, the parts that are maybe not as visible. Do we actually reach out and look for those? I'm going to use an example. James is not here today, but there was a time when a bunch of them were going skiing. Remember, you guys used to do a lot of ski things, and they're going snow skiing. So you can think of any event you like, but here it was snow skiing. Now, I mean, you might get to go once, two, three, four times a year. And you know, you pay a lot of money and you get to plan for this day and you want to go in and you just want to get as much out of it as you can. At least that's often the way I view things. And so that day, I remember hearing about it from my kids. One of your guys' friends, Kinsey, was his first time skiing. You tell me, when it's someone's first time skiing, how good are they? They're not very good. There's a lot of tumbles and a lot of wipeouts, and they're not going on the black diamonds. James spent the whole day with him. And when I heard that, I was like, that is love. Here he went. He sacrificed his opportunity to really enjoy the skiing to go and take time for someone who's learning. It doesn't talk about skiing in this passage, but that's exactly what it's about. And I know there can be different events that I was in my 30s. I can be in my 40s and still feel like that. I get so excited about the event or the activity that I miss the people because I'm so excited about getting that excitement for myself. It's a lawful event. These are not wicked things. But the heart attitude is that of a goat rather than a sheep. Even going into the activities and looking, who here do I need to look out for? Who's on the outside? Who can I encourage today? As much as you've done it for one of the least of these. What are the least of these? In that place, maybe the worst skier. There's the least. It can apply in many ways. What kind of heart attitude do we have? Are we looking out for those? Jesus sees. Because he says, as much as you've done it for one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. Because that's my son or daughter, he's saying, and you have time for them. Now, I want to apply this, and this has been on my heart really for a few months, is it's easy to be give money in some ways. It's easy to give money to people that we never see. And we've done this good deed, and we've fed people, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. But you know where it's hard to show love sometimes? Is the people you're with all the time. What about our physical brothers and sisters, those right in our own household? So you've heard this example, right? Husband and wife can maybe be having a firm disagreement, and someone knocks on the door, hello, and all of a sudden the sweet voice comes out to a complete stranger. going on. The one I love the most, I can talk firmly and maybe be at odds with, which it's not wrong to disagree, but maybe not be speaking in love. And yet a complete stranger, I can talk as sweet as hot honey. There's something terribly wrong. And so what I'm saying is the test sometimes is right in the walls of our house. The people that know us the best, are we looking out for their interests? Are we concerned about how they feel? Are we concerned about being a blessing to them? I think that's really where it starts. I want to challenge us in that. Because how can we say we love God if we don't even care about the feelings and those needs of those right in the walls of our house that we sleep every day? There's something terribly wrong. If we say we love God, or we say we're a Christian, and we don't have love for those right there, what does it say? We're a liar. We don't love God. And so let's start there. Let's make this really applicable right in the four walls of your house where you sleep every day. And then let's expand that maybe to this body right here. Oh, there's someone who just needs a little encouragement today, or have to be willing to sacrifice a little to reach out and encourage. Or maybe it's in that club or activity you're part of, and you can see some people, they just are not in the center of activity, but they need someone to reach out. They might need a text or a phone call. Or you're on a team. I'm not a music guy, but I was more into sports. It's easy. There's often on a team, there's four or five that are the elite ones. And then there's others that are more on the fringe. They don't get the same amount of playing time, all the rest. But do we reach out and come along and encourage those other ones? Because a team's not a team without the whole team. So I'm just using this as an example. But are we so consumed about our own interests that we're one of those four or five, that we have our good group of friends? Or are we looking to encourage others, build them up, ideally in the spiritual body? But let's start in our home. And so that was kind of my thought I've had for the last few months. Don't say we love God and not take concern for those right there in our midst. As much as you do it to one of the least of these, or as little as you do it to one of the least of these, you've either done it or not done it as unto Jesus. Do you believe that? Because if we have that perspective, all of a sudden, it's a lot easier to talk nicer to these people, to show more kindness to take these people, because all of us would say, oh, if Jesus was here, I would, no problem, I would do this. Well, would you really? There was no comeliness that we would behold him, it says. What does that mean? There was nothing outwardly that's like, oh, he's so attractive. Inwardly, there was something there. People were, they wanted to be near him. There was something. There was a love radiating from within. But it wasn't like he was the best looking dude. I don't think he was the most strapped young man. But there was something on the inside. In the same way, let's make sure that we are asking God, God, help me to see. First of all, I think this would be our prayer. Lord, show me in the walls of the house I live in every day, am I not looking out for someone's interests? Because if so, Lord, I want to repent and turn away from that. I want to love them. And then, Lord, open my eyes to beyond those four walls, to other people. Am I going about life trying to get as much out of the day for myself? Or am I going about life looking for ways to, what is it? What was the word it used in my version was minister. That's what it said. Serve. Am I looking for ways to serve others? That's what Jesus came. He came. He was equal with God, but he came as a humbled himself and came as a bondservant. He came as a servant, right? To serve others. In the same way, that's what we should be doing. As he was, so are we in this world. That should be our goal.